So here we are for the next piece on what turned out. We thought it was just like this simple little perk. It turned out to be really fundamental in the whole thing. So we've taken care of the first few parts. And let's just review. So some of the chidushim that we have. Gabi, maybe you'll put yourself on mute so that every time the noise comes up, your picture doesn't flip us. Thanks. So what we came to understand last week was that this entire parak casts a new light on the amazing power of the strategy of Nehemiah and the way in which he bases himself on so many inyanim that are fundamental to understanding what it means to achieve, not simply to achieve geula, but to achieve the status of Yisrael that is zocha to geula. And we understood that now his whole tefillah at the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, makes so much sense because he was referring directly to the idea of the Hester Pnei HaGeula, which clearly was continuing to take place from the time of Ezra, which the Ramban points out is the whole idea in the Tochacha of why it is that even after the Shiva of doing Teshuvah and Bava and coming back to Eretz Yisrael, it's still called Eretz Oyveihem. And there's a continued Haster Haster at Panai specifically for that time, which lends much additional depth to the way in which we understood his predicating his entire Hanhaga on Esther and on Shushan, because really Anokhi Haster Haster is Mavusis on that whole idea. That's the remez to Esther Menatera. So that what we're continuing now is surprisingly the profound Hester Pnei HaGeula, which is what his tefillah is all about. That since, as Ramban said, the chisoron was that we did teshuvah, but that it hasn't yet become linked to the entire idea of the true understanding of teshuva in the sense of not merely wanting to grow and be metaken ma'asecha, but to actually create the profound change that makes you a different person and a different am. So therefore, his first tefillah is directly alpi the Ramban, because what he says is that it's ritzoninu lasot et ritzoncha, essentially. And he takes the tefillah of Yom HaKippur and the vidui of Yom HaKippurim, and he turns it into a tefillah for taking the yesedes that began with Ezra and turning it into a real geula. And we also came to understand that he recognizes that the same inyanim that are in Yitziat Mitzrayim during the process of geula in the Shnot HaMidbar, okay, he understands that those have to serve as the model for the creation of an Am, which indeed becomes exactly what is capable of being Nichnas L'Aretz. And those are Arbayim Shana made Kibush L'Aretz and Knisa L'Aretz possible. And it begins, that entire period begins with the amazing idea of Chamushim Alu B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. And that Chamushim is translated during the time of the Midbar into an actual army that is created al pi mishpachot. So mishpachotehem is what he turns into here, the basis of what is going to become an army by the end of the parak, which is an amazing, amazing idea. And so what seemed to be just the simple logistics actually turns out to be something far more fundamental and primal to the identity of Yisrael. Furthermore, we also understood that the carefully calibrated increase in pressure on the Oyvei Yisrael, which are so important to him from the very beginning when he talks about this in his tefillah, and when he, in each parak, where he introduces elements of these Oyvim, and we saw them expanding, and we saw them becoming more and more willing to take action against Israel instead of simply trying to prevent things from happening by psychological warfare, he understands that that psychological warfare is precisely what is deeply necessary for Yisrael to cope with as an army before they're able to achieve anything. And therefore, he literally goes out first simply to build in order to take away the sense of bizoyan, and then even to instigate continued psychological warfare from the Oivim against Yisrael that would be so clearly psychological in the tfisa of the people that they would understand finally that it is not that there's something wrong with them, but that they are under psychological attack, which Lamaisa the Torah considers to be the deepest problem in warfare. And the creation of the Mashiach Milchama is to deal with the details to such a crazy extent that the Gemara talks about the difference between the psychology of the blowing of trumpets versus the psychology of banging with the kelim that you have in Milchama. I mean, it's ridiculous to us. Versus the trisim, when they take out, you know, the Gemara darshans every one of the psukim. The Altar Tzu and the Altar, it's like as if each one of these is a whole new puzzle. You know, not maybe you thought you could deal with the noise of those swords, but you know, that's not the same as the noise of the Trisim crash bang. You know, and you have to attune yourself, even though you know what's going on. You understand that it's all psychological warfare. And because of that, he brings it out to the point where they articulate it. They actually tell him, look, you know, we don't know how we can go on. You know, they're doing everything they can to discourage us, and they want to use these little nibbling attacks on us to discourage us further. And because we understood there was no chashash of open warfare because the government was backing him. I mean, they couldn't possibly make an open attack, which is why all of these little games were being played. Then we found that he identifies to them the fact that the Jews that were up until that point so frightened and so much a part of the enemies that they were unwilling to risk a thing and actually enlisted in the army of the Oive Yisrael, who of course were never presenting themselves as Oive Yisrael, were simply presenting themselves as the legitimate people who live here from the time of Sancheriv and who have a right to be here and who want to protect all of the population in common and, you know, have a multicultural state and it's fine. They just want to avoid this crazy guy singling out the Jews, you know. And all of a sudden, these guys who for all of these years from the time of Ezra were so trustworthy to the Goyim. When I say Goyim, of course, I mean the Kutim and all of the others that were settled here that we have from all of these other Pachot, including the Aravim to the south and so on, that they weren't even worried about them being a fifth column. And all of a sudden, everybody sees that they are mamish on the side of the Jews that are in the city, because the sensation of the rebuilding, if imagine the impact it had on the enemies who suddenly see that this haphazard motley group that had existed until then, who, as we'll see in the next parak, I mean, they don't have parnasa, they don't really have any basis of being there, they don't have any future. What's this guy going to do? He's going to set up a welfare system for them. Even that they don't want. But that's how he gets in there in the first place. And now they see, my God, the man is achieving unbelievable changes that nobody thought could possibly take place. So now their entire strategy changes. And what happens is that the change in the Jews, alachat kama vekama, were with them, is unbelievable. And therefore they keep coming, as we say, 10 times. It means 10 times a day or 10 times a time. 10 times just means over and over, you know, Adasora, you know, the Gemara says, Adasora, does that mean literally only Adasora? You know, the question of whether we're Cain is here to be paid an Eved, or is it whatever it's going to take? And as I pointed out last week, this is such a beautiful takeoff of what happens with the world at the time in Melachim Beit, where Aram was Nilcham B'Yisrael, and the Pesukim describe how the Melech Aram Aya Nilcham B'Yisrael, and he has their national security meeting with his cabinet, his Vayivayetzel Avadav, and they decide, okay, they're gonna set up these posts, you know, Mokum Ploni Almoni, and so on. Immediately, a message goes out from Elisha to Melech Yisrael, Vayishlach Ish Elohim El Melech Yisrael, to say, be careful, that's the place where they're going to be set up. And the whole thing, the king goes out there, and they realize the Jews are prepared. And this happens time after time. And the Lashon of the Pasuk is so beautiful because it describes our situation here in Nehemiah. Vayis'ar Lev Melech Aram al Adavar HaZeh. So the guy's going absolutely nuts. Okay, I got to know. Who the hell is telling everything to them? You sense the frustration. This is exactly what comes out now. I mean, the way that the Intifada was destroyed was exactly by this. There was nowhere they could hide. They would make these top secret meetings, and boom, they were attacked and destroyed. And like, how did they know? How did they find out? And the sense of hopelessness and frustration, forget it. So this Nehemiah identifies as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nace, essentially, that HaElohim came along. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that came along. Vayofer HaElohim et Atzatam, they knew it. They felt it. Not he saying. So they give up. And that's basically what happened. And so we have in Pasuk Tet that Vanashov Kulanu Elachoma Ish El Melachto. Now, everybody takes this to mean, you know, that here we were in a situation where unfortunately we had to have interrupted the Aveda and the Malacha on the Choma because of the fact that we were, you know, under attack. So until we were able to take care of that problem, we weren't able to go back to be Nashav Kulanu El HaChoma Isha Malachta. That's what everybody thinks. But in reality, what happens after this is the most astonishing thing, because after this we find, again, on the simple level, people, and none of them are farshim, recognize it as a profound strategy. So what do we find after this? So we saw last week, I think we had already gotten up to Yudalit. So we saw last week, this many of Farshim learned this was the group of marines that had been sent by the king to accompany the Nehemiah from the beginning. He's calling these guys Nari. He's got them involved already in the whole thing. And undoubtedly, they were Jewish soldiers who were appointed with him. So he's got half of them being Oisik Melacha, half of them being Machazikim, Aramachim, Amaginim, and the Kishatot, and the Siryonim. These were the guys that were the rapid response force, as we would call it today. So these were rapid response forces to be able to go to wherever there was a sign of some type of break-in. And meanwhile, the most weird pasuk, Vahasarim Achareko Beit Yehuda. Now then, Hasarim Achareko Beit Yehuda is some kind of new kind of thing. Hasarim Achareko Beit Yehuda means what? So, okay, you know, so the portion of meaning, is Rashi learns this way, the Pesudas learns this way, that even the Sarim had joined up and they were prepared to fight if necessary. And they sort of brought up the rear, acharei. But the beautiful pshat of the Tosfos Reed, the Reed Mitradi, is that acharei means here in the sense of backing up. Acharei, to back up. So they backed them. Backing them, you say, okay, so what does that mean? It means everything. Because until now, you couldn't really involve the Sarim as Sarei Yehuda. You could involve, you know, different people. Yeah, there were people that did participate, people that didn't participate, and we even had the pasuk before that many learned, well, they didn't want to bring their necks under the ol of Avodas Hashem, some learned, remember? That, nah, I mean, that much we're not going to do. But even if they did do, and if we take on the other perushim from before, they did it essentially as individuals and under the table. The idea over here that they were backed by the Sarei Yehuda means that there was a revolution going on. And that for the first time, the Sarei Yehuda represented not just fancy people or chashifa people, but that this was similar to the concept of the hakel that Moshe Rabbeinu would call it, Roshei Shiftechem, the ones that were in charge, the ones that were the dayanim, and the ones that people look up to. And for the first time, they are backing them, and this also ties directly. We had that first group that were the Ma'inarim and the Sarim. Then we had the Habonim Ba'achomav, Anosim B'Sevel Ontzim, and they, of course, were limited in how much fighting they could do. B'yodo, so we have Achat Yodo Sebam Lacha, and Achat Machzeket HaSholach. They couldn't really keep a true, you know, the whole thing, Ramachim, Aginim, I can't do that while you're building in one hand. So you keep a dagger at your side, you know, that's if you're carrying things. The Bonim could actually keep a cherev, but again, they could not keep all of the clay milchama that we spoke of before. So they kept the Charbo HaSurim HaMotnav and continued to build. HaTokea B'Shofar Etzli. Now, what does that mean, HaTokea B'Shofar Etzli? So again, last week we identified that after the creation of an army, so he came along to also build a center of control for the army. Very much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed the trumpets, and we showed that the Gemara says that after the Churban, the word for trumpet became shofar. This could literally mean the same thing that it meant for Moshe Rabbeinu, Aseh Lecha Chatzotzot. And that was undoubtedly, I mean, even though they're not mefarish here, but undoubtedly what was happening here is in the same way we have a rapid response force, so we also have a center of control. What's the communication? The communication is powerful, because the communication is essentially a shofar, but, you know, we think of a shofar means, you know, stam, one signal. We know that the Torah defines the chatzotzot as having multiple signals, signal for nesiat ha-machaneh, signal for calling only the shoftim, signal for being ma'asif at the am. So undoubtedly over here, the idea was that all of the data was coming into anybody that there had information, shared it with Nechemiah directly, and it was immediately transformed by the shofar into everybody's knowledge. So in other words, you know, there was a code for an attack on the southeast wall, a code for an attack on the south. You know, so you had like 12 codes, and everybody would know where to go immediately if there was any type of break-in. And this provided a sense, the first sense of a centrally controlled army, as opposed to just these little groups protecting their little place and their little outposts. Posts. So now you'll say, okay, so then the next piece indeed is, he becomes the Meshuach Melchama. Right? So he calls them all together. V'omar l'chorim v'lasganim v'yeter ha'am hamlacha harbei v'rechava. We got lots to do, and it's very broad. Now, very broad has multiple meanings. And indeed, the Mefarshim Chelek over here. What do we mean by very broad? But in the broadest sense of broad, it's very broad. Because the broadest sense of broad is that there's all kinds of things that are happening that we need to achieve that nobody's really aware of. And that in the broadest sense, we need to have centralization. And anachnu nifradim al hachoma, rechokim ish mi'achiv. And therefore, bimkom asher tishmu et kol ha'shofar, shama tikavtzu eleinu, Eloheinu yilachem lanu. So again, this sounds very much like the Mashiach Mechoma speaking. One of the strangest things is that there is, in most of the reliable versions of Nehemiah, there is a parsha break between these psukim. So then it's a crazy place for a parsha break between Pasuk Yod Gimel and between Pasuk Yod Dalet. Because Yod Gimel and Yod Dalet are basically the words that he seems to be saying, El Acholim, El Asganim, Vel Yeter Ha'am, and so on and so forth. And that's what he's saying. Vo'omar. Okay, so Vo'omar, Bimkom Ashetishmu et Kol HaShofar. Not only that, but the Malbim learns that Pasuk Tetvav, which seems to be merely a review of what was said before about the Na'arim, which is Va'anachnu Osim Bamalacha V'Chetziyam Machzikim Ramachim Elot HaShachar Ad Tzeit HaKochavim, is a continuation of the exhortations of Nehemiah. So he's continuing to tell them, listen, we have a lot of work, and we're Nifradim, and where you hear the Kol HaShofar, and what we will continue to do is we will be splitting our forces. Some doing the Melocha, some being there, Me'alot HaShachar, Atzeit HaKochavim. Now, gentlemen, I have, I think, an amazing, amazing Chiddush here. And that is that all of this is planned out, meaning that the thing that Nehemiah was trying to do was much more than recognizing that you need to have an army as part of the gibush of Klal Yisrael. It's much more than that. He was going, remember, to construct the Medina. And the Medina means Yerushalayim as a place outside of the Mikdash, which is a place for people. The Makor for Yerushalayim as a place for people is the Machane in the Midbar. The Machane in the Midbar was constructed only out of the Pekida for a Tzava. There was no Machane without a Pekida of the Tzava. What is more is that the entire nature of the Beis HaMikdash itself was, and these are two mitzvahs in the Torah, of the Tariag mitzvahs. There needs to be Shmirah Saviv HaMikdash. And that Shmirah Saviv HaMikdash is an essential din in the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, and an iser to ever be mashbit the Shmirah around the Beit HaMikdash. So what he is doing over here is a completely new concept of rebuilding the Machane with Shomrim, essentially. And this is exactly why the idea of Haitalano Halaila Mishmar is so profoundly important. The biggest riot to its importance is that the entire Haftocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the rebuilding of Yerushalayim in Yeshayahu is amazingly al chamotayich Yerushalayim hifkadati shomrim kol hayom v'kol halayla. And this is exactly how the perek ends. There's no sleep for us. Kol hayom v'kol halayla, you are to remain all night. Gam ba'etahi Amarti laham ish v'naro yalinu betoch Yerushalayim v'haya lanu ha'layla mishmar v'hayom melacha. That means kol hayom v'kol ha'layla he took as the literal haftach of the way in which Yerushalayim will ultimately rebuild. V'al titnu domilo ad yikonein v'ad yasim et Yerushalayim tihilav ha'aretz. So that means he's mamish patterning himself on the Nevuah of Haggai, as we saw before, on Esther, on Yeshayahu. And these are the only ways that he understands that it is possible to transform what was previously a religious exercise of having a bias of Beis Tfilah transforming it into the building of the Medina for Yerushalayim as a whole. And what's more, he takes Churchill's approach, because it's not simply if we take this to mean not like the Malba, but a description of what had been achieved, then it means that the break between Pasuk Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet is the break signifying a breakthrough. And that is, it's all very nice that it's part of the same words. That may be so, that it's part of the same words. But it's a breakthrough. Because for the first time, we indeed have a possibility of Avedas Hashem in the Machane through Shemira. It is not a coincidence that the entire Makor in the Gemara in Brachas and in the Gemara in Megillah for understanding the Seder Hayom of Kriyat Shema and Tefillah is in terms of Mishmarot and in terms of this Pasuk. The Gemara says, how do we know what is considered to be Yom, what is considered to be Laila, when is this man Kriyat Shema? What? And it brings this Pasuk. V'anachlo osim b'malacha v'chetzyam machzikim ramachim me'alot ha-shachar atzeta kochavim. Mikan, that the day is measured, me'alot ha-shachar atzeta kochavim. Says the Gemara, but we need the next pasuk also. V'ayulano ha-layla mishmar v'ayom malacha. Because if Nehemiah had not defined it as yom v'layla midiyoraita, says the Gemara, we would have thought that maybe this is just a Seder that he made. How do I know it's a din that defines Yom Valayla? From this pasuk. And it also says, well, what do we need? And it also says, because you might have think that maybe Yom and Laila are different. And it was they, Inu de Kamakhtame, they got up early, Inu de Kamakhtame. No. He was defining the Seder Aveda. So it turns out that this Mishmar is the total concept of the creation of Machane Yisrael that came from the Midbar, and that was literally the only way in which there could be that darga of Mishmorais that comes to define for us this Zmanei HaTfila L'Dereis. This is the whole marker of those Dereis. And it comes through this Churchillian idea of Ve'ena Niva Chai U'Na'arai Ve'anchea Mishmor Asher Acharai. We don't take off our clothes, not in the daytime, not in the nighttime. Which probably the correct shot, which none of the Mepharshim say, but which the scientific approach says, is the shelach over here is neshek. That was a normal way to call neshek, general neshek. And mayim is a canteen. Everyone slept with his canteen on his shoulder and his gun at his side. That's the most beautiful way of learning. The other way of learning is, we don't use Shekhar Mayim, we wouldn't take off our clothes, even to go into the water, or even when we were crossing the water, we were holding our swords, our daggers, or only for purposes of Tahira to go to the mikveh, we were Tayvalar, whatever. But even that is fine. That's exactly the changeover from a population that is interested only in their own comforts into making a country at war. And this is what Churchill did with exactly those type of things. This is what happened in Japan in the 40s, before Pearl Harbor, when the United States had set up all kinds of sanctions and they ran out of food and they ran out of energy. And the entire nation was together in fighting anybody who would try to look for luxuries. Department stores weren't allowed to sell luxuries. They could only sell one item per customer. And there was a sense of his achdus that came around from understanding this is us building our future. Where just days before, these were people that wanted nothing but their own comforts. All of a sudden, they became motivated to bring everything that they owned. In England, they went around and collected every piece of metal, people's fences, the decorations from homes. And this is what he created over here. Ishil Chomayim. And this became the Hagdora of Aveda Shamayim L'Doire Deireis on the simple psukim from the Chemia. You're telling me that that's a coincidence that we described the Bishmoris and the Rakia, and that that relates to, I mean, it's unbelievable. This is a small thing that should provide this marker, the remez of Pakadati Shomrim, his understanding that this is the vision of Yerushalayim Tehila Ba'aretz, that's the creation of an Am Yisrael around a machana that has a tzava, justifies the change from Posik Yod Gimel to Posik Yod Dalet as a completely new parsha in the middle of an exhortation, which is beautiful. Okay, I got to run into Myriv. And thank you very much for being there. We'll continue Bezrat Hashem next prayer. I expect your Ha'arot to come. Amazing things, absolutely amazing things. What a man. Started off looking like some primitive, who knows, and it turns out Miyasid, the whole vision of Yisrael Adairis. Incredible. Kol Tov.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Yeah, pleasure. Love you.
Thank you.